Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Mike Moret, and this is our 15th study in the book of Deuteronomy. Going through Deuteronomy verse by verse, and today we come to chapter 9, verse 18. Lord, we ask that our hearts are good ground, that we would hear your word and understand your word, and that your word would bear fruit in our lives 100-fold in Jesus' name. Amen. The Israelites are about ready to enter the promised land. Moses is about ready to die, and he is going over some things that actually their history. And last time he was talking about the first time he gave them the Ten Commandments from God, and how when he came down off the mountain, he saw them committing idolatry with that golden calf, and so he smashed the Ten Commandments on the ground in righteous anger to show just how displeasing it was to God that they were smashing the commandments of God in reality. And so with that in mind, let's look at chapter 9 of Deuteronomy, verse 18. It says, Moses says, "Then once again I fell prostrate before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. I ate no bread and drank no water, because of all the sin you had committed, doing what was evil in the Lord's sight, and so provoking him to anger." Moses prayed and fasted on account of all of their sin. And they did more evil than just worship that golden calf. They were ungrateful to God. They were unbelieving, and they were immoral, and all this in addition to idolatry. And they did it all right in front of Mount Sinai, which was blazing for 6 weeks with the fire of the presence of Almighty God Himself. And so, what a terrible sin this was. And verse 19, Moses says, "I feared the anger and wrath of the Lord, for he was angry enough with you to destroy you. But again, the Lord listened to me." God was determined to execute the whole bunch, and Moses knew he meant business too. Moses was afraid for the people, and so he prayed for the people for 40 days. Moses stood between the people and death, and the only reason they are around today is because God graciously listened to Moses' prayer. Verse 20. "And the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him. But at that time I prayed for Aaron too." And so God was angry enough at Moses' brother Aaron to kill him, just like he was angry at the rest of the Israelites. And Aaron's sin was caving into the demands of the people and making that calf. And then, to add to that, making up a pathetic excuse for doing it instead of simply coming clean and confessing it as sin. And so Moses saved his brother's life by praying for him also. 21. "Also I took that sinful thing of yours, the calf you had made, and burned it in the fire. Then I crushed it and ground it to powder as fine as dust, and threw the dust into a stream that flowed down the mountain." Moses was furious. Even before Moses went and prayed for Aaron and the people for those 40 days, before he did that, he personally demolished that golden calf to powder. And Moses didn't care what the sinful mob that was worshiping it thought of him or would even try to do to him. He didn't care. He took their precious calf, and by destroying it, he showed it to be a pathetic god. Believe me, any so-called god that can be destroyed by a man isn't worth worshiping. 22. "You also made the Lord angry at Taberah, at Massah, at Kibroth Hattaavah." And so this isn't just a one-time thing with these people. they made the Lord angry many times in their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. They complained about their food, and they complained about water, and they complained about Moses, and they complained about God. And so Moses reminds them of their track record of evil here. He reminds them of their evil so that they would never take for granted the kindness of God who preserved them anyway. 23. And when the Lord sent you out from Kadesh Barnea, he said, go up and take possession of the land I have given you. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You did not trust him or obey him. It was like pulling teeth to get that rebellious bunch to the border of the Holy Land without them dying because of their continual rebellion. So what do? When they finally get to the border of the Promised Land, they rebel by not going in and taking it. What a lousy job Moses had. Verse 24, you have been rebellious against the Lord ever since I have known you. Moses had a job that no one would have applied for. He was commanded by God to lead people who just refused to be led. Moses has earned every eternal reward that he is enjoying today. Verse 25, I lay prostrate before the Lord for those 40 days and 40 nights because the Lord had said he would destroy you. You know, God, through Moses' example here, is showing us how to respond to bad people. Bad people who continually irritate us. Moses did the right thing, and we should follow his example. We ought to pray for them. Pray for them to be spared from God's wrath, and also pray that they would be changed. And I know that does not come natural, but it is what God would want. Verse 26. I prayed to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, do not destroy your people, your own inheritance, that you redeemed by your great power and brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Moses prayed that God wouldn't destroy Israel because they were the people that he chose. You know, God had a good plan in mind when he saved Israel from Egyptian slavery. And Moses prays for him to complete that plan rather than destroying the work that he had begun. Verse 27. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Overlook the stubbornness of this people, their wickedness, and their sin. Moses knew the word of God, and he prayed with God's word as a guide. He reminded God of his promises to Abraham, that he would make Abraham's descendants into a great nation and give them the holy land to live in. Moses reminds God of his own word. In his prayers, Moses asked God not to go against his word. Well, those are dynamite prayers. When you know the word of God and you can pray in line with the word, you're going to get God's attention. Verse 28. Otherwise, the country from which you brought us will say, because the Lord was not able to take them into the land he had promised them, and because he hated them, he brought them out to put them to death in the desert. Now, in his prayer for the Israelites, Moses also said, Lord, think about your reputation. If you destroy Israel, even though they deserve it, people will say that you can't finish what you start. So for your reputation, do not destroy them. 29. But they are your people, your inheritance, that you brought out by your great power and your outstretched arm. In other words, Lord. Still, Moses talking about his prayer. Lord, they are no good. You know, we both know they are no good, but they are still your people. God invested a lot of time in Israel. And so Moses prays that it wouldn't be for nothing. Let's go into chapter 10, verse 1. At that time the Lord said to me, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and come up to me on the mountain. Also make a wooden chest. Now you remember the first stone tablets, which contained the Ten Commandments? They were cut by God. Moses smashed them in anger. And now these second tablets were to be the same size and the same shape as the others, only they were to be cut out by Moses. Verse 2. God says, I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Then you are to put them in the chest. And so they will be the same commandments, written in the same way by God. And God is saying, by that, I'm not changing anything. God is saying, you know, you can break my commandments with your sin, but you're not going to get me to change my commandments. You're not going to get me to lower my standards. In other words, God is saying, my word is my word. Whether you accept it or not, I mean, that's up to you. But my word is my word, and I'm not changing it. Verse 3, so I made the ark out of acacia wood and chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones. And I went up on the mountain with the two stone tablets, or the two tablets, I should say, in my hands. Now, it doesn't say this in the Bible, but the two tablets may have been made out of marble because there's a lot of marble around that area. Wouldn't that be something to see? Verse 4. The Lord wrote on these tablets what he had written before, the Ten Commandments. He had proclaimed to you on the mountain out of the fire on the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them to me. And so nothing changed. God writes the same commandments with the same letters in the same way. They were the same commands the people heard God speak out loud from the fire when they first arrived at Mount Sinai. Verse 5. Then I came back down the mountain and put the tablets in the ark I had made, as the Lord commanded me, and they are there now. As Moses speaks, it is 38 years after he put the Ten Commandments in that holy ark. And as Moses speaks to the Israelites, the things that we have written here in the book of Deuteronomy, the commandments, 38 years later, are still in that box where God wanted them to be. Now, that ark with the commandments has been lost, stolen, taken somewhere. No one, I don't think, knows where they are. But I don't believe God let them get destroyed. And I've got a feeling that someday archaeologists will find them. Archaeology always validates the Word of God. And won't that be something? Wouldn't that be something if they found the ark with two stone tablets, marble tablets, with the Ten Commandments written by the finger of God engraved on them? Well, we'll stop there for today, and we'll pick up our study right where we left off next time. Until next time, Mike Murat here for Scripture Verse by Verse, reminding you to stay in the Word and stay in prayer. Until next time, so long, everyone.